Evening, and welcome to our Bible class here at Hyde Park. We've got our brother Daniel Teeley tonight, and he is going to address us on his topic, Lights of the World, Preaching Today. So very topical, Daniel. Thank you for that. Interesting sequence of hymn choice that we were talking about the evening of the day already before we start you off there. So looking forward to hearing your thoughts further, though. You've asked us to take a reading to introduce your thoughts, and we're going to take that reading from the Epistle of James, chapter 2. So with pleasure, I call upon our brother Daniel to give us his thoughts on Lights of the World, Preaching Today.
Well, thank you very much, Brother Ralph, and good evening, my dear brothers and sisters, and a warm welcome to those who are listening online as well. As St. Brother Ralph mentioned, my topic for tonight is Lights of the World, Preaching Today. And so I actually want to begin by explaining a little bit about preaching in general, and then going into what I think is the most effective method of preaching, especially today, and see what the Bible says about preaching. And so to begin, I actually want to make you guys keep a hand in James 2 and just flick back over to Galatians chapter 6. And just as you're turning that up, when Christ first sent his apostles, he gave them two missions. They were to preach the gospel and to heal the sick, as well as help the needy. And we find ourselves in a similar calling now. But how do we go about doing so? And so let's read Galatians 6, starting at verse 6, and I'll read to about verse 10. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in good things. Be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he reap also. For he that soweth to his flesh, so shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit, shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. These five verses alone summarize our calling when it comes to preaching. We who are taught in the word go out and communicate the word to others in all good things, albeit we're also given a warning here as well, as not think that we can trick God in a sense by pretending and actually just reap the flesh, and perhaps to try and aid what I think this warning is getting at, I'll just quickly read Matthew 6 verses 1 and 2, where Christ says, take heed that you do not take your alms before men to be seen of them, otherwise you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have the glory of men. For verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But instead, in Galatians 6, we are told to reap in the Spirit. And while we have the time and opportunity to do so, you reap by doing good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. And to press that point a little more, and not to steal any thunder from Brother Kent's exhortation last Sunday, but to press the point, we should do that good, that kindness, motivated only by a caring heart and mind, expecting nothing in return, and not for the glory of others. Our good works and acts of kindness towards each other, and especially to our brothers and sisters, should never spring from a desire to maybe promote ourselves in our community or to get the praise from others. But the primary motive should be simply done out of love for others, and especially those in need. Now, that's not to say that I don't want people to encourage or praise others and receive praise as well, but just don't let that become the reason why you do kind and good things. But now I do want us to turn to James now, because I think I've laid out a basic framework for what preaching is, and I want to try and go a little bit deeper into this topic, because I think ultimately, though we have all these organisations like the ACBM, the Christadelphian Bible Mission, the Meal a Day Fund, and other organisations as well, and we also have our own preaching efforts, like holding events, praise nights, or sending out pamphlets, and all other manner of ways that we preach in the world. Not that I want to take anything away or try to undermine the great things and opportunities that they've opened up, but from what I've observed, both in Scripture and in my life, is that the most effective method for preaching is by preaching by example, which is what I'm going to try and go into now and draw focus on. And so by preach by example, I mean preaching by showing the example of Christ in our daily lives. And so how do we go about doing that? Well, in James chapter 1, starting at verse 18 and stopping around verse 22, it reads, "Of his own will he begat us with the word of truth, that we should be a king of first fruits of his creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." So we're told directly that each one of us was born with a purpose to seek the word of truth. And so in response to this, we ought to be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. I quite like the wording that's used in verse 21, that we are to be engrafted with meekness or humility to the word of truth, which is able to save us. And then we're told to be doers of the word and not just hearers only. And so we finally get to James chapter 2, which was the reading for tonight. And it's here where James goes into some detail about what being a doer of the word looks like. And so James starts this chapter by establishing a very key point in caring for each other and for other people. And that is to not hold the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with partiality, or in other words, with discrimination. Jesus Christ himself didn't show discrimination, and nor should those who put their trust in him. But instead, I want to share a story that I've heard that will hopefully aid with a point that I'm trying to make, or intending to make. So, one day, a very wealthy man took his son on a trip to the country with a firm purpose of showing him what poverty is like. They spent a couple of days and nights on the farm of what would be considered a very poor family. And on their return trip from home, from the farm, the father asked his son, "How was the trip?" And he answered, "It was great, Dad." And Dad said, "Did you see how the poor people live?" "Oh, yes," said the son. Curious to see what he had observed, the father asked his son, "So what did you learn from the trip?" The son answered, "I saw that we have one dog, and they had four. We have a pool that reaches to the middle of our garden, and they have a creek which has no end. We have fancy lanterns in our garden, and they have the stars at night. A patio reaches to the front yard, and they have the whole horizon. We have a small piece of land to live on, and they have fields that stretch beyond our sight. We have servants who serve us, but they serve others. We buy our food, but they grow theirs. We have walls around our property to protect us. They have friends to protect them." And with this, the boy's father was speechless. And then his son added, "Thanks, Dad, for showing me how poor we are." The real measure of a person's wealth is how much they would be worth if they lost all their money. It's that wealth that we have without our worldly riches that God is searching for in our hearts. And we learn of that wisdom and wealth through the word of truth given to us and the example of Christ we have for us to follow. So now attempting to get back to the topic of preaching tonight, the key aspect that I've tried to consider so far is that we need to be found doing the works of the Spirit. Wisdom is the right application of knowledge. It is an application that can be seen in daily living and not in knowledge only. As it says in James 1:22, "Be doers of the word and not hearers only." It's possible to deceive ourselves into thinking that because we hear the things of the Spirit, we'll be saved. But faith must manifest itself in action. And James continues to say later, "Yea, a man that say he has found faith, and I have works, show thy faith without thy works, and I'll show thee my faith by my works. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead?" That's from James 2, 18 to 20. And there's actually a contrast here with Israel of old, reading from Ezekiel 33, verse 31, where it reads, "And they came unto thee as a people, who cometh, and they sit before thee as my people, and they hear thy words, but they will not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but with their heart they goeth after their covetousness." And this brings to mind the generation of those who heard the voice of the Messiah himself speaking amongst them, but refused to listen and obey it. And there's an obvious application to our circumstance. The words of Scripture are not simply nice sayings to put on a pretty plaque on the wall, but they are vital principles for daily living. We must both hear the word and do the word of God if we would be approved by him. He that heareth and doeth not is like a man without foundation upon the earth against the stream, did, and it beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of the house was great. Coming from Luke 6. There is then a labouring that needs to be engaged with if we wish to be granted the promised day of rest. We need to be men and women of action in the things of the truth. And so Paul spoke to Timothy regarding those who labour in the word and in doctrine, who were to be approved and granted special honour. And in 2 Timothy, we're told, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman, that needeth not to be ashamed, rightfully dividing the word of truth. And so when we consider the example of our Lord Jesus Christ, we have many examples to guide us in our daily conduct. By contrast, with those who are of transcendent glory, like the fading wild flowers of a field, Christ had no outward beauty, as it's written in Isaiah 53 verse 2, there is no beauty that we would desire him. Being despised and rejected of men, he was the lowliest of men. Yet he was exalted in due course. Of him it was written, he shall grow up before him, being Yahweh, a tender plant, and as a root go out of the dry ground. He did not seek the praise of men sitting in elevated positions at feasts, but on the contrary, he came as one who served, even washing the feet of his disciples. He was a man of action as well as words. We must therefore take heed to this example and seek to do likewise, and seeking first the affairs of the kingdom, in order that we may be inhabitants, therefore, of the age to come. So what are some examples that can guide us in our daily conduct towards each other as brothers and sisters, as well as to other people that we meet in the world? Well, it really boils down to showing the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Being kind to one another, loving your neighbour, especially in any small things. For example, simply being respectful to people in a non-discriminatory manner. Being kind to everyone, especially your brothers and sisters. Maybe you see someone coming towards you and so you hold a door open for them. Or maybe you see a mate struggling at work and so you give them a helping hand. Or you see someone without their lunch and so you go and get some lunch for them. Or any other manner of kind act or compassion or just good works you can do for other people, in as much as you're able to do. Because, of course, you cannot fill anything with an empty cup. But it said in 1 John 3, verse 16 and 17, that by this we know love, that he layeth down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does the God of love abide in him? And so in summary, we are to preach the gospel, care for our brothers and sisters, and in as much as we're able to, care for all other people as well. If we truly love our neighbour, the greatest gift we can give is the message of the word of truth, the message of salvation, whilst bearing in mind that we should try and achieve balance of doing good things to others and preaching the gospel as a priority. Our acts of kindness should be motivated only by a caring heart and mind. Our motives are important. Good work should not spring from the desire to promote ourselves, but the primary motive should be a simple love for those in need. Otherwise, we may become as the Pharisees, who gave their alms that others would see their good works. And so if others do see our genuine loving care, they see our example, they're drawn to ask, why are they doing that? And then we can respond, and in doing so, preach by example. Thank you.